Hare Krishna. I want to first of all greet all the devotees who are here with us at this last Gauranga Katha or Gauranga Lila Katha for this year. After let me say, I think some of us will go during the month of Kartik and leave this part of Germany for sure, and therefore I'm very honored to announce this will be the last Gaura Lila Katha actually in this year. I will say something in German. I will speak in English the Gaura Lila Katha, but I will say something in German first. Mir ist schon klar, dass wir viele deutschsprachige Gäste haben, und es tut mir immer wieder aufrichtig leid, wenn ich in Englisch spreche, zumal ich Englisch gar nicht so gut kann. Englisch ist ja eine zweite Sprache, eine Fremdsprache für mich, und es fühlt sich dann schon immer ein bisschen komisch an, wenn man zu Gästen oder zu euch spricht. Wir sprechen das ganze Jahr miteinander in deutscher Sprache, und dann plötzlich zu dem Teil, der uns eigentlich verbindet, nämlich einem spirituellen Abend oder sagen wir mal einem spirituellen Thema, wechsle ich die Sprache und bin in englischer Sprache. Ich fühle einen kleinen Erklärungsbedarf, warum das so ist. Es ist einfach so, dass ich ja dieses Jahr mir vorgenommen habe, nicht so viel zu reisen. Es wurden dann im Sommer 3 sehr intensive Reisemonate, 4 Monate, aber im Großen und Ganzen wollte ich dann das internationale Publikum, was ich sonst sehe, nicht unbedingt verlieren, sondern weiter ihm dienen. Und so habe ich mich dann entschlossen, zu diesem Schritt, dass ich einfach diese Katas für ein internationales Publikum in englischer Sprache gebe. Wie gesagt, ich habe ein etwas komisches Gefühl, weil ich ja sehe, dass diejenigen im Raum hauptsächlich Deutsch sprechen und gar nicht alles verstehen unbedingt, was ich an neuen Vokabeln auswendig gelernt habe. Und ich glaube, das ist trotzdem die beste Art und Weise. Gut. Now I will switch again into English and remain in this language. Today, on the last Gaura Lila Katha of this year, I would like to recite a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is very much relevant for this time of the year. It is on the 15th or 16th of October that the devotional month of Kartik starts, and it is during this time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually visited Vrindavan Dham. Two years ago, this was a great celebration in Vrindavan, the time when Mahaprabhu actually visited Vrindavan. And I remember still, one day I was in Sri Damradakund, and that day there was a huge procession going all around the two kundas, the two lakes, which ended in the sitting place of Mahaprabhu. It's called Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Baitak, or sitting place, where you still find a palm tree, which is said to be there from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a huge deity, maybe as big as this, the doors, as high as the doors of the castle, which had been carried all the way from Bengal, or was it Puri, one of the two areas, to Mahaprabhu's sitting place, where he performed his bhajans on the banks of Radhakund. And I remember there were just so many people there. That was really remarkable. I saw many friends from the west who were sitting on the rooftops. I was afraid that the rooftops might collapse because there was just so many devotees there. And they celebrated Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan maybe 500 years ago. Not maybe, but for sure, 500 years ago. And there was a big publication, a book, in which I also contributed. Mahaprabhu's 500 years memorial or a memorandum visit of Vrindavan Dham. It was a huge celebration. Even the area around the beautiful Kusum Sarova Lake had been cordoned off. A minister came and inaugurated the celebration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a lot of light in Kusum Sarova and a raft in the middle, it flows in the middle of the seas, where a nice Harinam party sang the whole day with incredibly loudspeakers the holy names of Krishna, and remembering this historic visit of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It was a very, very big thing, and at that time I gave a seminar commemorating this, where I told about the different stations in Mahaprabhu's journey through Vrindavan during the months of Kartik. And I want to tell a little bit from this katha today to all of you. My intention in talking about this particular pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to tune all of you a little bit in. My idea is the month of Kartik is soon coming. It's on the 15th, that's in about 10 days or so. And it's a month where, so to say, special blessings are given to those who perform even a little bhakti, a little devotional service. What to speak of what you do, what all of you do during this month, and or what you regularly do. I would like to remind you that this month is a month which carries a special blessing. There are amazing blessings of people who even perform by chance devotional service. I remember that in the Padma Purana there is a narration of a few drunkards who in this month went out in the forest to drink a wine together or alcohol together, and they became so drunken that they decided, why don't we fly like birds? So yes, where should we fly? Well, let's put a little lamp on the tree, and then we flap with our chadas and go around the tree like birds. That is what they did. Now in the next life, they were all elevated to the position of highly spiritual brahmanas. And when there was an inquiry why this happened, Yamaraj said, well, these people have done parikram, or sacred circumambulation, of a lamp which they hoisted or put up on the high of the tree. In the month of Kartik, it is customary that we put a light or shine a light to the Lord, and they had done this. Yes, they did it to when they were drunken and they wanted to see the light, wanted to see some light for their crazy dance, but then they did also an extra circumambulation. So there are many such stories of what we know as Agyata Sukriti, that which make the point that if you do something, even if it is small, in the month of in the holy month of Kartik, which is called the Damodar Masa, a month which is very dear to Lord Damodar, mm-hmm. then tremendous blessings wait for you. Like this, it is the ever conditioned souls who may need some encouragement to get out of their normal habits and do something special for the Lord. They are enticed, die werden verführt, oder verführt ist nicht das richtige Wort, so angezogen. They will be attracted to do something. And I hope you also will feel inspired after this katha to let me say, look a little bit of you on your life during the months of Kartik and see if there's something which you would like to offer to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani. Good. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatyane Shvatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Is it comfortable for all of you, or do you feel a little bit forward? Yes, yes, don't be shy. Please come to me. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan, he had actually made many times plans to go. I have counted it, and he tried 5 times to go to Vrindavan, but he was 5 times detained and could not go. We hear that anyone who wants to visit Vrindavan needs to really check his motives, because he will be tested. Only those who are very eager to come closer to Krishna will be permitted entry into the divine or spiritual Vrindavan. But those who just go and buy a ticket, in other words, those who only make ordinary travel arrangements to come to Vrindavan might not reach the spiritual home of Krishna, but only a little dusty village which now suffers from overpopulation in the district of Uttar Pradesh in India. Srila Prabhupada made this always very clear to all of us. He had lived in Vrindavan and he was really a resident of Vrindavan. He said, you can't reach Vrindavan by ordinary ways, because Vrindavan is not a geographical place, but it is really a place of consciousness. The consciousness which is necessary to be adopted for someone who goes to Vrindavan is that he wants to serve Radha and Krishna. Everyone in Vrindavan has this service orientation, this inner orientation, and unless and until this orientation comes into the consciousness and changes the consciousness, a journey to Vrindavan doesn't have the full benefit for the pilgrim. It's really not the same. That's why you can sometimes see visitors to Vrindavan who are not really impressed by Vrindavan. Quite the opposite. They notice that Vrindavan is very dusty and very, let me say, unorganized, and there are so many things which can disturb the pilgrim who doesn't come into this, who doesn't come in this changed consciousness, a consciousness where he is no longer in the center and his own comforts are no longer in the center, but the consciousness where he has conscientiously put the pleasure of Radha and Krishna into the center. I want to warn all of us, when you go to Vrindavan, you can see the bitter side of Vrindavan, the side which corrects you very quickly, so that you understand, I need to change something. So before this correction happens, which may be in a way which we don't like that it happens, it's better that we make the correction beforehand, before we go in our own consciousness. So Mahaprabhu shows in his own way of approaching Vrindavan that his eagerness to go was really increased, because five times he tried and could not go. When Mahaprabhu arrived in Vrindavan, it was in the sacred town of Mathura. It is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, as soon as he saw Mathura from the distance, he offered his long and prostrated obeisances. This is actually the unusual habit of Vrindavan pilgrims, that the moment they go to Vrindavan, they first of all offer their obeisances. With this first obeisances, they announce, I come as a humble servant to Vrindavan. I pay my obeisances. I was in the past, one time, the moment is my bad internet karma, accused of throwing myself down in the dust of Vrindavan. But really, this is what the scriptures say. They say it for a good reason, that you do this in order to enter Vrindavan, the real spirit of Vrindavan, in the right way. Everyone should do this. It is in the Krishna book that as soon as one comes to Vrindavan, one should pay his obeisances. And certainly this was taught by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who as soon as he saw Mathura, even from the distance, paid his most humble obeisances. Then he took his bath in the Yamuna, in Vishram Ghat, and proceeded from there towards Govardhan, and arrived at the Lake of Flowers, which is called Kusum Sarova. There he saw for the first time Giriraj, the sacred mountain which is identical with Krishna. And it is said he was so transcendentally and emotionally excited about it that he went to one big rock and embraced him, wetting Giriraj with the tears which streamed from his eyes like Mother Ganga. from there, he proceeded, and here's where I start in all seriousness, to Haridev, the temple of Haridev. May I ask you, who of you has visited this temple? Most of you. Oh, wonderful. I did not know that so many were in Haridev. Haridev is a very special deity. It is a self-manifested deity. That means he was not carved by an ordinary deity, Mola. Once during the spring Rasa Lila, the circle of dancers spun out. It was so many gopis were there, and Krishna was in between each one of them, that it really expanded and came all the way to Chanda Sarovara in the village of, or near the village of Paita. It is said that Krishna danced so nicely at that time, pleasing all the gopis, that the moon, the full moon, which you can see here, it's already the Kartik full moon is already has already arrived in the Dharma castle. That the full moon was so amazed that he lost his astrological position and fell down on the ground, where he was building a lake of his own tears, the Chandra Sarova Lake. Those who visit Vrindavan can visit Chandra Sarova Lake. It's a very nice little place where you will find relative peace in Vrindavan, and you can sit and chant. A very sacred place. So Krishna suddenly disappeared from this place, and the gopis, who had just been minutes ago with Krishna, saw that Krishna was no longer in their midst. So they all assembled at the place where now the Haridev Mandir stands, and they all shouted very loudly, "Haridev! Haridev!" Because they know when you feel separated from the Lord, you can chant his holy names and the Lord will unfailingly come into the presence of any devotee. So they chanted, "Oh Hari!
Oh Hari!
Oh Deva!
Oh Deva!"
And then they combined the two and chanted, "Oh Haridev!
Oh Haridev!"
Unable to neglect the loving call of his beloved Lord Krishna, then appeared before the gopis with his flute held in his right hand, and his left hand he held it like this, as if he was raising the Govardhan hill for a second time. So when Krishna, who cannot keep himself away from the love of his devotees, came amongst the gopis, he stayed there all night and into the morning. And in the morning, his cowherd boyfriends, who had not found Krishna at home, looked for him in the area of Govardhan. And when they couldn't find him, they also began to shout, "Oh Hari!
Oh Hari!
Oh Deva!
Oh Deva!
Oh Hari Dev!
Oh Hari Dev!"
Thank you very much. So when Krishna was now with one group of devotees, the gopis, but his other devotees were also, calling out for him, he was in a dilemma. With which group should he stay? It's almost like I think a loving father has one of his children is in staying. Let us say, for some time in Czechoslovakia, and the other child is staying in Denmark, and both of them want his presence. Then where should I go, to Denmark or Czechoslovakia? And if he is in Denmark with one child and receives a phone call, "Father, I will die without your presence," then he does not know, should I stay in Denmark or should I go to Czechoslovakia? So Krishna had a problem. He felt obliged. He said to the gopis, "You can fix your mind only on one, that is on me, and worship me. But I am not so fortunate. I have so many devotees, and therefore my mind is many branched. I'm Bahushaka in my mind. I have to satisfy them all. You can fix it only on one person, on me. I have to fix my mind and satisfy so many devotees. I have to go." Before he went, he manifested a joyful looking deity. And this deity was Haridev. Krishna went in his Svarupa, but he left his Vigraha. And as we understand from Chaitanya Charitamrita, his Svarupa, Vigraha, and his name are all identical. Krishna had also another idea in his mind. He thought, even if I stay now in my Svarupa with the gopis, I will eventually have to leave them, and the gopis also have to go home. And since their elders should not know that they associate with me, it is better I manifest a four-armed Narayan form. Haridev, he has four arms. And then the gopis can always come to this deity and always worship him, and it will be socially all right. Because the Brijbasis have nothing against their daughters worshipping Narayan, but they will be concerned if they are with a bluish cowherd boy together in the forests in the midst of the night. That they will not agree to. So in this way, Krishna fulfilled two purposes. One purpose is he became the deity of the gopis, whom they would see every day and worship every day with flowers, with the full support of their elders. And the second is Krishna could leave and be with his cowherd boys at the same time. So this Haridev deity is a very special deity. It is the deity which was worshipped personally by the gopis. It is in Manasa Ganga, and it is here where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced. When he came there, he remembered this pastime and he danced in so much ecstasy that all the Brijbasis who came one by one agreed they had never ever seen such dancing ever before. It was unique. There is a verse which I would like to read to you, and maybe this verse encourages you to go to Haridev. Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. Yeah? The transcendental topography, the transcendental Landschaft of Braj, is like that of a lotus, and on the western side there is Haridev. Mahaprabhu spent some time there, and even the priests were amazed to see such a degree of love and offered him a very, very great welcome to stay there. Even nowadays, the priests are very, very inclined to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And if you want to stay there, stay in the temple for many hours, they will not at all, they will give you their full support. They're very nice. And we had done, in the midst of one Kartik, a nice Kirtan event. There are many nice residents of Vrindavan came and participated, and many nice devotees of Krishna had come from the Krishna Balaram temple, a whole bus load. It was really, really nice. So I wanted to focus a little bit on this pastime of Lord Krishna. See, Krishna saw that two types of devotees, or two groups of devotees, wanted to be with him. And Krishna thought of a way to be with them and to, in this way, bind them with his love. In Krishna's outfit, you know, the way he dresses, there's a very special and unusual feature. And I'm trying to look at the turban of Kunya Bihari. I see it there also. He has in his turban a little robe. Maybe he has hidden it in this turban, but it is always there. He has a robe. This is not a robe to keep the turban in nice shape. It's not there for dressing purposes. This robe is called the Nir Yoga Pasha. And it is a robe which is used by Krishna for two purposes. One is he binds the cow's hind legs at the time of milking with this robe. I personally know what this means, because when I was small, I was earning a little Lakshmi by milking cows, and I also needed to bind the hind legs of the cows. I'm also a cowherd boy in that sense, not in a spiritual sense. You need to bind the cow's rear leg. Otherwise, if they are temperamental and do not like your strip, strap, strull style, your milking style, they might kick you. And therefore, you have to bind them. This is one reason why Krishna uses the robes. But a much, more relevant reason why he has a robe is a zweck, a purpose, a much more relevant purpose is that he wants to catch the conditioned souls with this robe. Hari Seva is always running away from me. I must use my new yoga pasha to catch him. It's a robe of mercy. which you also will find on one of the two lotus feet of the Lord. It comes from the große Zeh, the big toe, down all the way, the line. It's a new yoga passion. There is a very nice poem I want to read to you about this rope. The devotee addresses this rope. By the fault of my own karma, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. How long can I still struggle before I drown? Swimming and swimming, I cannot find the end of this ocean. The huge ocean of birth and death has no end. Drowning, I start to drown and I scream, "Someone come and save me." At that moment, my Lord, you came. I knew you could take me to the shore. A seed of hope was planted within me. Oh, merciful Lord Krishna, now you have found me. Oh, merciful Lord, I will never leave you. Oh, merciful Lord. Then it continues. Kindly pick me up with the robe of your mercy. This is Narottamdas Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Narottamdas Thakur. Please keep me and take me with the rope of your mercy and pull me out of this ocean. When my family made holidays in Denmark, I was swiftly swimming in the current, and we know from one of our devotees from Denmark, there is sometimes a current in the ocean, and I was drowning in that current. I was very young and immature and foolish and very daring and had gone, and the current took me away. In Sylt, you also find, near Sylt, you find these currents. You have to be careful when you bathe in Sylt. I have personal experience of this. But this was so strong. It was between two islands, I believe. And I remember I was drowning, and then my older brother, I will never forget this. I maybe should be more grateful to him. My older brother fortunately took a rope around his waist and he jumped into the water. He gave that rope to someone who stayed on the coast, and he was jumping into thing, and he picked me up as I was already vomiting. That's one stage before drowning. For some people. So, and he caught me, and then he said, "Pull us out," and then we were pulled out. It was a huge, a very long rope. So Krishna's new yoga pasha are like that. He comes and catches us, even if we are not willing sometimes. Some of us are very, very expert in ignoring that rope. Krishna is not giving up. He gives us one chance after the other, after the other. And when we finally realize our mistake, that we have turned away from his robe of mercy, we are bound by the robe of Maya and pulled here and there, but we have ignored his robe of mercy. We realize our mistake. Krishna is immediately there to offer us his help. Immediately. Krishna is only a sincere prayer away from his devotee. I think some of you have realized this in their life. Especially during the months of Kati, my dear devotees, don't think about the Niya Yoga Pasha, the robe of mercy, and don't try to run away from it, but catch it. Take it in your hands and allow yourself to be pulled. into a different type of bhakti than you are accustomed to. And so this is one of maybe Krishna's strongest energy. It's called the Kripa Shakti. Just like a queen is superior to so many other ladies of the royal court, the Kripa Shakti is the supreme energy of all of Krishna's Shakti, and the devotee addresses this very, very nicely. Mahakarunya Mahima, says Sanatan Goswami, Purano Nityanutana Tvadiya Satchit Anandas Tasmai Nityam Namo Namaha Tasmai Nityam Namo Namaha. He says, your wonderful mercy is very ancient and eternal, but it is also ever new and fresh. To this mercy of you, I again and again offer my obeisances forever. So before I will tell you about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful Govardhan Parikrama, because he started his Parikrama of Govardhan here at the Haridev temple, like it is traditionally done for Gaudiya Vaishnavas who come after Mahaprabhu. Before we do this, I would like to sing with you a very nice prayer to that merciful, that mercy. I feel if we sing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now and pray for his mercy, we might actually get his blessings, so that we can enter into during the month of Kartik Krishna consciousness in a deeper way. We have made copies.
Gauranga karuna koro dinamina.
Yes. May I please also have a song sheet? Thank you very much. You can look in the. Bisschen anders noch.
Gauranga karuna koro dinahi na jane.
Vielleicht das vor dem Dings halten, dann können die mitsingen, die Leute.
Go, go, Ranga Karuna Koro, Hina Hina Jane. Goranga Karuna Koro, Hina Hina
O Shama Pajita Prabhu, Ahi
Tante Trinath Haji Gaurav.
কৃপা কৰি শিশু
Jai Ram,
Thank you.
The song is really nice. It says, "Oh my dear Lord Gauranga, please show your mercy to this lowly and destitute soul. Oh Lord, there's no one more fallen than myself in all the three worlds. Holding grass between my teeth, oh Lord Gora, I'm calling out to you now. Please be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. If you do not give your mercy, seeing how fallen I am, then why are you known as Patita Pavana, the merciful savior of the fallen?" So there are other verses, and you can, if you want, read this verse, the song. It is really very nice. It is very, very wonderful. So when Mahaprabhu started his parikrama around Govardhan, in the night he developed a very strong desire to see Gopal. There's a deity which was discovered in old times by Madhavendra Puri, the Gopal deity. It is a deity which is in the position of having his left hand up like this, showing how he lifted the Govardhan hill. This gesture we hear is a gesture of I will protect you, my dear devotees. But you know, because he lifted the Govardhan hill with his left hand and the pinky, but his fingers, other fingers, are like this, which means come. In our culture, we make like this, come. It's a little passionate. This is a little bit more fine. Come. So this is the meaning why the Lord has this gesture. Come. Please come. So this deity was worshipped in a temple on top of the Govardhan mountain. But there was a problem. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to climb the Govardhan mountain, thinking it identical to be with Krishna. He thought, since I shall not climb at any time the Govardhan hill, how then shall I be able to see Gopal Rai? Gopal knew this, and he therefore arranged a trick. Early in the morning, a person came running into the village. It must have been Jatipur, that is the village which is there, and he's or Anyor, one of the two, and he screamed, "The Muslims are coming! Terrible! Let's bring Gopal into a safe place." And all the Brijvasis ran up the hill, not in order to take care of their own safety, but to take care of the safety of the Gopal deity. And they took the deity down from the hill, and they brought the deity into their own homes first, but from there they made a procession to Ganthuli. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew about this, and he immediately followed the procession and danced before the deity, laughing and chanting and being all ecstatic. Then he went to the Ganthuli village and stayed there for 3 nights before he found out it was a rumor. No Muslims were in the country. There was no threat. Gopal had made a little rumor, a little trick, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have his darshan. And you really want to see Krishna? He makes an arrangement. I remember this subject was discussed in the Russian festival. You know, we often have heard, let us not try to see the Lord, but become qualified so that he sees us. Maybe you have heard this the sentence. And this is certainly true. But like so many subjects in Krishna consciousness, there are always different perspectives. And another perspective is given by Jiva Goswami, which says, when you never want to see the Lord, when you never want to have darshan of the Lord, you will never ever see him. the desire to have darshan of the Lord is the root, the wurzel from which the darshan will grow. Jiva Goswami gives an example from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, which I believe you all know. It is the example of Narada Muni, who once saw the Lord in his meditation, and then the Lord disappeared. And he said, when he had disappeared, and he saw Narada Muni was crying, he said, you will not see me in this life again. With this, I intensify your desire to see me. And when you have this intense desire to have my darshan, you will burn all the material desires away. You will not any longer desire to see so many other things, worldly forms or worldly landscapes. But if you have this desire to see me, all the impurities will leave you, and one day you will see me again. So this Jiva Goswami makes this point, that the desire to one day have the darshan of the Lord is the root for having that darshan. Of course, this can never take place, this darshan, without thinking of developing the qualifications. No? The qualifications is also important, but this doesn't mean that now we never desire, we just think about this will never happen, I will never have the darshan, and in this way we will also never have the darshan when we think like this. It will not happen for us, it will happen for all others who make the mistake to want to have the darshan of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So yes, this was an ironical statement, just to make sure that. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are many, many wonderful pastimes, but this is the pastime how the Lord was so, so kind to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at the end, I want to just explain how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in a special place when he had finished his Govardhan Parikrama or his Vrindavan Parikrama. Here he went to all the holy places, to all the forests, also Kamyavan, Nandagram. He saw all of them. But then there is one very important leela which is described, and I think there is a great reason why this leela is described. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed, I'm trying to find it in my notes, but I can also tell it like this without notes. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he was, he attracted a lot of crowd. We hear that when we go on the pilgrimage to Vrindavan, it's not so favorable when we are in crowds. Now, I realize that devotees who go to Vrindavan need parikramas, where parikrama guides show them where they need to go, and then they need to also hear the pastimes. And for that, it is very good to go with many devotees. But the idea is, when you go on pilgrimage, you should also have time for Krishna in a more, let us say, in a more personal way. If you always stay with big crowds, you will maybe be in danger of socializing. That is why Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went on pilgrimage, don't go with so many people to Vrindavan. Don't go. You go like a magician who has a big crowd for his magical shows. So you please. So Mahaprabhu preferred to be alone, and he stayed in Akruragat, a lonely place. But from there, he would go early in the morning to Imlital and chant the holy name there. So, but then he returned for the noon time to Akruragat and stayed all the afternoon and the evening there. So once people came past Akruragat and said that to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do you know the news? Krishna is back in Vrindavan. Every evening he dances on the hood, Schlangenhaupt, of Kaliya in the Yamuna. Many have seen him. So the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this and said, wow, Krishna, we can have Krishna's personal darshan each evening in Kaliyagat. Imagine the sensation if there would be news that Krishna is dancing personally in the Kaliyagat. What amazing influence this had. I can imagine many ISKCON devotees would immediately go there. The next day, another group of people came, and they said, Krishna is there. He is dancing on the hoods of the snake. This is so nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just smiled. So when this had happened for many days, Balabhadra said, can I please go and see Krishna dancing in the Yamuna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you fool. The next day, some gentlemen came and said, and Mahaprabhu said, have you seen Krishna dancing? These gentlemen said, it's just ordinary people always want a sensation. What is happening is that each evening a fisherman comes to the Yamuna. He goes with his boat into the water, and to attract fishes he has a little light, and then he can fish them nicely. So the people think the boat is Kaliya, the fisherman is Krishna, and the light are the rubies, as the light from the rubies of Kaliya's head. This they think. But it is true that Krishna has come to Vrindavan. He is sitting now here in Akuragat. he's there. And in this way the gentlemen were referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting there. I think this pastime is there for good reasons. When we go to Vrindavan, we should be aware that the Lord is not a cheap personality who can cheaply be seen with our eyes. But it is important to note that the Lord is can only be seen through a certain qualification, that is, through the eyes which are smeared with the balm of love. This is a very important point of the Chaitanya tradition, that the devotees who follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want to see that their bhakti comes into the heart. Because only, this is also what Krishna says in the Gita, only when you are full with bhakti is it possible for you to have contact with Krishna. Therefore the devotees pray more for bhakti than they pray for the personal darshan of Krishna. They feel that the heart should become a place where bhakti or where devotion resides. By the help of that bhakti in the heart, it will be possible for them to make proper advancements. See, no one can force Krishna to appear before the eyes, but Krishna is attracted to whatever little space, or let me say, trace of bhakti you have in your heart. So this wonderful qualification, bhakti, is waiting for all of you during the month of Kartik, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is free for all, when it is waiting for all of you. During the month of Kartik, please have the right, desire, the right wish, which is to increase your bhakti over all other concerns. When bhakti is there in your heart, Krishna will automatically come. How do you increase your bhakti? Is it at all something which you can do? How does bhakti increase? Has any one of you thought about this? It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, another
Bhakta. Association with a bhakta, with someone who has bhakti.
Association with a bhakta, someone who has bhakti. Yeah, like everything else, the qualities of someone come into our heart when we associate with them. I think we all know that. Any other thing?
By performing devotional service, especially chanting the holy name in the footsteps of the great acharyas.
By chanting the holy, by performing devotional service, especially chanting the holy name, following the footsteps of the acharyas. This is also what Raghunatha Goswami says in Mana Shiksha. He speaks of five activities, bhakti activities: worship, meditating, glorifying, deity worship, and one other. He says in this way the bhakti will be increased in the heart. Yes, any other idea? Yes.
By receiving blessings.
By receiving blessings. Bhakti can come into our heart by blessings. Yes, there are many statements like this, that blessings can be obtained from devotees, but also from the Lord. We pray like that. Also from the Holy Dham. Yes. Bhakti can come also through causeless mercy. It is given to us without any cause. You need to be eager to get it. The eagerness is the qualification. I have an interesting suggestion. Love, also divine love or devotional love, or bhakti, loving devotional service, starts when you give attention. I always feel that is something which we overlook. But the first thing for someone who wants to develop love for Krishna is that he gives attention to Krishna, attention to the descriptions about Krishna, attention to the deity of Krishna. If you give attention, then from the place where you give attention, that something can arise. It is a very simple point. When I was young, I did something which I hope the children here will not do, but I had a magnifying glass, and I captured the sun rays, and with the magnifying glass, they all came on one point, and then fire came. A little boys like to do, play like this. Maybe you also did this when you were children. Like this. How does the fire come? The fire come because the sun rays are bundled. They come to one place and they it becomes hotter and hotter at the place, and then the fire will burst forward. So in Krishna consciousness, you must learn to put the many thoughts and many projects which you have and many ideas which you have on one spot, and then only will the bhakti feeling come like fire, which comes forward in the heart. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is a very interesting episode. There is a quite advanced soul, and but he doesn't get anywhere. His mind is spread all over. He's unsure, and so on. And Gop Kumar or Swarup sees that this person lacks one thing. Everything he has, but one thing is lacking. And I feel this is very often the case with many of us. We have everything. We know so much. You can ask any one of us. They will give philosophy about bhakti, oof, like no professor at the university can give. But their lives are not always filled with bhakti. And they seem to not really progress very much and remain unsatisfied in their lives. That what was lacking, Gop Kumar and Swarup, or Swarup, yes, the name Swarup is in the spiritual world, and Gop Kumar, he's known like this here. He understood this person needs ekanta. Ekanta is ekantika is the word in Sanskrit. It is one-pointedness. It is giving full attention to this. And I would really request you during the month of Kartik, it may not be necessary to do so many things, but just try to do one devotional practice of bhakti which you give, where you can put your full attention. And the more attention you can give, the more one-pointed you can do it, the more you will see how all of a sudden that rare jewel of bhakti will enter your heart. You will see. It's really this ekantika, that one-pointedness. If you remain with your attention all over the place, like the sun rays, no fire will come. No bhakti will come. It will not work. You may know so many things and so much. Woof. And in any, you can win any discussion on any subject matter because you are so knowledgeable. But you will see what you really require is that full attention, that full ekantika. Very important. Very important. When you go into the school of full attention, so much can come. It will be wonderful for you. With this, I want to end here. I'm very much on time. I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful time in the month of Kartik, wherever you are, wherever you celebrate this month. Please see, it is a great chance which you will certainly utilize if you are able to give attention and focus. during this time. We will see each other in the new calendar year, hopefully in good shape and a little bit more full with bhakti. Yeah, that is what I wish. And all the best for you. I will end here. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Shri Radha Kunya Vihari ki
jai.
Gaura Prema Nandini
jai.